God bless Peter. Jesus gives a hard teaching, and Peter asks again, "Are you serious?" Today's gospel, the reading is the final part of Jesus' discourse on how we should treat each other in community. The first piece was, "Who's the greatest? Who's the greatest?" A little child. And then what to do when, not if, we're in conflict. That was last week's sermon about facing into it. And today, Peter asks, "How much do I have to forgive? Can't I put limits on this?" And Jesus' answer is the parable of the unmerciful servant. Now, I've heard this parable preached with a focus on how much God forgives us, but I don't think that's the point. I think here Jesus is focusing on how we treat each other when we keep sinning or when others keep missing the mark. And I was surprised that the ratio of debt between the slaves is 500,000 to one. The first has an impossible debt to the master. 10,000 talents is more than the tribute paid by the region of Galilee to Caesar over 15 years. The second slave owes 100 denarii, which is about 3 months' salary of a day laborer. And both use the same words to ask for mercy. "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." And the one who owes the most shows no mercy to the one who owes the least. Now, it's easy to distance ourselves from these stories. I mean, just look at that. I wouldn't be so unreasonable. I'm not so unforgiving. I can forgive most people, but then there's that person. And Jesus responds to Peter, "Forgive 77 times," or the Greek could be translated 70 times 7, and that's 490 times. And I wonder, who has to count that many failings? Or did the injury happen once and we revisit it 70 times 7 times? Dr. Fred Luskin has a wonderful image in his book, Forgive for Good. A crowded screen in front of a harried air traffic controller. And each one of those circling planes is an unresolved grievance. Are we refueling them in the air with our focus on how they did me wrong? Are we refusing to allow them to land? Are we unable to face the cargo carried on that plane? The plane might carry the story that we use to deflect attention from our own actions. I was struck in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, where it talks about the founding of the program and the 12 steps of recovery, about the instructions for step 4. And step 4 is we took a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, not of the other guy, of ourselves. And the instructions are we start with our list of resentments. To me, that's the 70 times 7 list. And then we drill down to identify what they, the person we resent, threatened in us. And then we identify what was our fear that was driving that conflict. It's hard to do it, and the chances are, when you finish your list, we've also just written the list of who it is we owe amends to. But that's step 9. This is only the step 4 list, so there's a little time to get there. But it's a model of rigorous honesty to help us identify and release our resentments. Now, I realize that there are times when the injury that we receive is devastating, when anger is a healthy response. But it requires hard work to face into the injury. Forgiveness does not equal denying the wrong or the injury. It may be personal trauma. I had a lot of childhood trauma, and I used a lot of tools to face into it. Personal therapy, healing of memories workshop, peer support groups, professionally led support groups. It was hard work to remember, to name, to use ritual to confront my dead parent. And at a certain point, I realized I was holding on to ashes, the ashes of the injury, the ashes of the relationship. And I turned my hands over and I put them on the earth that Christ has redeemed, and I let them go so that my hands could hold life. At what point are our hands filled with ashes? We may be looking at systemic trauma, like racism or economic injustice, where the hurts are done over and over and over again. How do we fight back without hating the other individuals? The training that we did here on civil disobedience, nonviolence, de-escalation of conflict is a resource we can use. The building of prayer and community support in the centering prayer, which we're starting training on tomorrow night at 7:30 in the chapel and alternate Mondays, is another resource. And accepting the grace to walk through such pain can be astonishing. A few years ago, I was on the choir tour with St. Mark's to Norwich Cathedral. And there was a place we paused as we processed into the choir stalls of the cathedral to sing evensong. It was the Chapel of Reconciliation. And I was stopped in my tracks by a prayer that was found on a piece of wrapping paper in Ravensbrück, the largest concentration camp for women in Nazi Germany. And the prayer was, O Lord, remember not only the men and women of goodwill, but also those of ill will. But do not remember all the suffering they have inflicted on us. Remember the fruits we have brought, thanks to the suffering, our comradeship, our loyalty, our humility, the courage, the generosity, the greatness of heart which has grown out of this. And when they come to judgment, let all the fruits that we have borne be their forgiveness. Now, we may never be called to pray for personal enemies at that level, but this prayer makes vivid to me that God's grace is there in the most desperate situations. Today's parable can remind us that Jesus invites us into the kingdom of heaven as we are called to stop nurturing our resentments, to face into real injuries, to show mercy and accept mercy, and to ask help from the Holy One to face the fears, the injuries, the angers, which seem too big for us. Each of these is part of entering into the kingdom of God, where Jesus meets us. Amen.